We bring greetings to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's an inspiration to me this morning to realize that the Trinity was present at the creation. And it's an inspiration to me to realize this morning that that same Trinity, that same God, that same Father, that same Jesus, that same Spirit is present right here with us this morning. We thought about creation this morning and the vastness of creation and the indescribable part of creation and the presence of God being there. And as we gather in this small building here, I say small on the scale comparing it with creation, and we gather in a few by number, and then we realize that God's presence is right here with us. It ought to humble our hearts this morning, brethren and sisters. It ought to bring a soberness to us. It ought to make us realize, well, just many things, shouldn't it? But the great love of God that He has for us, that He would humble Himself and bow His attention to be present with us here and worship with us. It's that same God that we can strengthen ourselves in. Thank you for that devotion this morning, Brother Virgil. Very inspirational. I enjoyed being here, and my heart was blessed throughout the service this morning. If you were sitting in the adult Sunday school lesson, you probably heard Brother Luke say something about 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I invite you to open your Bibles there this morning. Brother Luke, in a sense, introduced the chapter that I'd like to speak about. The title of the message this morning is Power on Her Head Because of the Angels. I'd like to speak about one of the Christian ordinances. And I'd like to speak about this morning, not so much because I believe that there's a great need among our sisters for this, maybe, as much as it is just to encourage us in the things of God this morning again, just to strengthen the principles of God's Word, just to strengthen our belief. And I know this message this morning has to do with our sisters, but brethren, this morning it has to do with this side of the house as well. And so I don't want you to go to sleep and think, well, Brother Lamar is going to speak to our sisters this morning. Because as we look into this portion, we see that the responsibility of this ordinance and the responsibility, the headship order I mentioned this morning, and I suppose my mind went there because of this, but God is a God of order. God has placed order in all of His creation. God has placed order in the church. God has given husbands, men, leadership responsibilities, and they come to light as we look at this. I'd like to read the first 16 verses, 1 Corinthians 11. Be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, For as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Verse 10 is our text verse this morning. The title is taken from that verse. Verse 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it commonly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Sisters, this morning, have you ever wondered if it is needful to wear a symbol of submission on your head? And I believe if you would give me an honest answer, probably those thoughts have gone through each of your minds already. You probably wondered, is this all necessary? Have you been tempted to doubt the power of your headship veiling? There is power in that this morning, and I want to explain that to you. I want to share the encouragement to you this morning. Let's just think a little further this morning. Is it worth all the trouble, I'll call it, to brush, to comb, to shampoo, and properly care for the long hair that you have in a godly Christian manner? Is it worth it? Those are probably questions that at times you have toyed with, that you have at times wondered about. Well, according to verse 10, it tells us that for this cause ought a woman to have power on her head. And I believe this morning that when we accept God's order of headship and when we respond to the ordinance, this visible part of the ordinance in the way that God is asking us to respond to, I believe there's not only power, but there's a blessing, there's a smile of approval from God. And not only does God take notice to this morning, but this scripture tells us that it brings this thought into focus in verse 10, that because of the angels, I believe there are angels that take notice to this morning. I believe there are ones that the angels understand the symbolizing of the symbol of the veiling. And I asked the question this morning, who of us would desire to be without heaven's protection? The angels, I believe, were a part of God's creation, and we know that, and that's a whole subject in itself. We know there's a whole spirit world around us, but there are those angels who are God's angels this morning, and who take notice to the things of God, and who have an interest in the things of God, and who would desire to see more of the things of God, the scripture tells us. They desire to look into God's things. I just want to read a verse to you that I ran across, and I didn't study this verse out, but I find it very interesting. There's a cross-reference in my Bible just this morning, and I wish I would have had a little more time to study into this. But took me to a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 in verse 6 where it says, "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angels that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands?" And I believe in the little bit of thought that I gave to this and a little bit of studying that I done, I believe that has to do, may I say this morning, that I believe at least a part of this has to do with the vows that we have vowed before God. We have told God that we're going to give our hearts and our lives to Him, and we're going to live for Him, and we're going to As much as we know and understand, put the precepts of God's word into action in our lives. And this verse is simply saying that we're not supposed to turn around and say, well, that wasn't the way it was. That was an error. And not keep the vows that we have, lest God be angry with us. And I just bring that into focus this morning. It wasn't a part of my notes when I put this together, but I found that verse interesting this morning and encouraging to realize that God takes notice and God is expecting performance on our part. And the angels take notice, and that verse reinforces that as well. Now, another verse I'd like to think about is in Hebrews 12, verse 22. Here it tells us, Paul tells us, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable multitude or company of angels, I believe is the word that he uses, company of angels. And I just bring this into focus as we think about the angels having an interest in God's creation and mankind and in, yes, even the things that God has ordained for man to put to practice in his life, I'll just say. The angels have an interest. And there is an innumerable multitude of angels, it tells us, that have this interest. Revelations 5 and verse 11, the last part of it says, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, it says. Angels that have an interest in the things of God this morning. And so I asked the question in the introduction again this morning. Who of us, as God's children, does not want to be counted among those who are surrounded by such a company of angels? God's angels that have an interest in our protection and in our life. Right with that, I asked the question, who of us is powerful enough to understand or to withstand, I want to say, Satan without accepting God's order for our lives? And the provision that the Heavenly Father has made for the protection and the well-being of, I'll say, our sisters this morning, because we're talking about the headship veiling. I believe, dear ones, that God has chosen to employ a visible means to keep us aware, may I say, of the divinely appointed man to woman headship arrangement. And I'd like to look at that this morning. The head covering simply is a voluntary veiling for the glory, for your glory, to God's sign of order and your dedication to that order as well. Now, I believe that it is only as we really submit ourselves to the headship order that we find real joy and peace and the real meaning of this headship veiling. I'll just say this morning that it doesn't matter what kind of, how big your headship veil is. If you don't understand the principles, if your life isn't really taking up and living out the principle that is behind it, if we don't understand the teaching of it, we're missing the important part. We're missing the important ingredient that this is all about. And so this morning, I believe that's the main thrust, the main burden of this message this morning is to help us understand this. And so we go back to these text verses. And I'd like to go back to, yes, this verse in verse 10, it says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. For this cause, what cause? Well, Paul emphasizes, Paul explains the headship order, I believe, beginning in verse 3. Let's look at it. He says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. This morning we talked about God being a God of order. And God is a God of order in every aspect of his creation. God was a God of order in creation. We look at creation and we see how creation just revolves around the rest of God's creation. And when God put the church in place, he put man in place, he put the church in place, God does these things in order. He's an orderly God this morning. And so in verse 3 we have this order. It is God the Father. It is his Son Jesus who gave his life for us. It is the Spirit. And this morning, the three of those work in perfect harmony together. That's what I want to bring out. But then as it enters into the realms of man, God created man to be the one who is to give his obedience to Christ. We follow Christ. And I love how Paul starts his chapter out. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul brings that right in his teaching, right in his writing. He brings that into focus. We give our answer to the Lord Jesus. God has ordained man to lead out in society, in the world, in the church, in his creation order. And woman comes into that order and is responsible to her head, who is the man. And so this morning, it's very simple. It's laid out. It's very simple as we look at it. In terms of simplicity, it's right there. But it's a different story as we try to put that all into action. And yet it's so beautiful when it's all put into action. It's God, Christ, man, woman, an order that's very easy to understand. In fact, this order is grounded in creation. Notice verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9 says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." God created man in the creation story. And then he realized that man needed a helpmeet. And it would have been good for man to have a helpmeet. I don't think he just realized it then. God knew all that before. But as he was creating, he then caused that sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took the rib from his side, and therewith he created a woman. And so the man is not of the woman. We say, now wait a minute, today it's women that give childbirth. But from the beginning of time, God had created the man and then the woman. And so he says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." And so I find that interesting, that it was God's order from creation. Genesis 1:1, we studied that in our Sunday school lesson. It says, "In the beginning was God." John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. So the Word, we say, was Christ. Christ submits to the Father and seeks to honor him. And only through Christ does man have access to God. We understand that as well. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. We come to God the Father through Jesus Christ. It's all a part of his divine order of headship. And so God created man in, the Bible tells us, his image, God's image. Man was created in the image of God. Then he created woman in his image from, like I said, from the rib of a man, the flesh of a man, to be his helpmeet, to be a glory to man. And not only a glory to man, or to be that helpmeet to man, we should say, and a glory to God. And I like to hurry on and say this morning that God's order is for a smooth function of the human race. It's how God designed it. Paul does not suggest that women are inferior this morning, and I want you to know that. Men and women complement each other. We see that. Let's look at verse 11 and 12 while we're talking about that. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. You see, Paul's saying that this is supposed to be a working relationship, and there's not one that's inferior to the other. There just needs to be an order. There needs to be a leader. There needs to be someone who leads out and someone who follows, and then they work together. Someone who finally says, well, this is how we're going to do it. This is how it should be. And there needs to be, yes, submission to that, and then we find that working relationship, and we find this is so true when that happens, that men and women complement each other. Again, I'd like to just say this morning, they are both equally important in their roles. There is no difference. It's just as important for the man to lead out as it is for our sisters to be submissive to that leadership. And there is no... They are equally important in their roles. Men and women have equal salvation. It's imperative that we understand that. Galatians 3 and verse 28, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus died for all mankind, for men and women alike. God's grace and mercy are equally accessible this morning by both. But God's grace does not do away with the order of headship, I'll hasten to say this morning. They are equally accessible, but it does not do away with God's order of headship. Now, I'd like to look at two potentials as we think about that. We think about the fact that there is an order that needs to be followed, and I'd just like to think a little bit about some things that can happen if that's not followed, or the woman's potential to dishonor her head, in other words, who is the man. And let's look at verse 4 and verse 5. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Meaning that when a man has his head covered, he dishonors his head, who is Jesus, who is Christ. We dishonor that head. And I like to hasten to say this morning that, okay, let's say it like this. That is why you see when we have a time of, yes, maybe a collective worship service or even otherwise, when men pray and they do have some kind of head protection on their head, they will reach up and they will take their hats or their caps or whatever they have off. It's because of this principle. It's because there's a respect that is there to the head. And we don't see that in our world so much today because men do not wear headgear like they used to. Years ago, just about every man in our society wore a hat. And when men prayed, the hats came off and it was very noticeable. There was something very, yes, just very nice about that, I'm going to say, when you see that happening. Very respectful. It's that respect that comes forth. Now verse 5, let's look at verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. And he goes on to explain that if the hair is not covered, then it's the same as having the hair cut in one way or another. And God wants the long hair on a woman, the Bible goes on to explain if you read on verse 6 with that. But the focus that I want this morning, I'm talking about this woman's potential to dishonor her head. Verse 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. Who's her head now? We looked at God's order of headship. Her head is man, who she is supposed to be submissive to. And so when her head is uncovered and she's not taking her place in God's order of headship, she is then bringing a disgrace or a dishonor to her head. Who is her? The man that has the authority over her. Either her husband, Or those of you that are single sisters here, have a father who you are accountable to. And if you were to pray or prophesy without your head covered, you would dishonor your father, in other words. The authority that is over you is what is here. And again, we come back to this thought that God is a God of order. I mentioned already, we look at creation, we look at the sun, we look at the moon, the stars, and everything moves in a perfect, predictable pattern. Plants and animals grow and reproduce according to the plan of the master designer this morning. We can look at our own bodies and how our bodies function. It's a display of how God places every member of our body in function and in harmony with all the other members. It works together. That's exactly what God's doing with the headship order. He's bringing that same kind of working relationship is what he's doing. God has planned for order in the human family. And I'd like to say this morning that disorder and frustration all result outside of God's prescribed. I'll just call it order for lack of a better word this morning. It's God's order. And when you take any of the rest of God's creation and you mix it up and you start making it not work in the way that God has planned it to work, and there's chaos. And dear ones, this morning it's not any different in God's prescribed order for a man and a wife and a woman-man relationship and how that all works. I'm just bringing you up. We're going to, if you're starting to wonder when we're going to get to the power of all this, which is the title, we're going to get there this morning. But I'm just taking you to the scenes behind all this. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to look at another potential this morning. And this chapter actually brings both sides of this out again. The potential for the woman to dishonor her head. The second potential that we're going, I'll just introduce it now. The second potential is for the woman to be the glory to her head. And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You see, Peter talks about the harmony and the working relationship again. And everything I said just comes out together as we look at that. This morning, I believe here in 1 Peter is wherein the power of God and the Spirit of God is unleashed in the human race, may I say, when men and women work together. I believe then is when there's a harmony of working together is when the glory is starting to be, that is displayed on the head, is starting to be real in the relationship, in the experience. Just a few things I'd like to say. From this chapter, I believe that we see here that a woman's relationship with man should honor and praise her head, who is the man. God created woman to help man fulfill God's purposes for him on earth. That was the very reason. We could go back to Proverbs 31 where it talks about that she's not going to be bring shame into his life, but she's going to, how those words just leave me right now, But she's going to be that helpmeet. She's going to enhance his life. She's going to make it that he's noticed in the gates. I can't get the words together this morning, but you know what I'm talking about. That's what God wants. In other words, she enriches man with the womanly qualities of her life that his life needs, that he doesn't have and that she has. And I believe this morning, as women submit to their head and take their place in God's order of, I'm just going to say, humility, meekness, chastity, modesty, purity, that's when she brings glory to her head, glory to the man. A woman is also the glory of God when she is the glory of man. A woman in her place will receive great honor and many, many blessings this morning. Now, I'd like to go to this idea of power on her head. Going back to our text verse, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. So we looked at the order of headship now, and we understand God's prescribed order. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I'd like to say next that a veiled woman has power on her head. It's heaven's protection this morning is what it is. And I'd like to explain this power to you this morning. It does not mean that woman is some powerful creator or some powerful creation that God has created in the way that our world looks at power. This power that is talked about here simply means privilege, freedom, delegated influence. God's delegated influence. Think about it in this way. This power is those things. It is, yes, somewhat an authority, not over the man, but in other areas. May I say, an authority of which a woman out of her place knows nothing about, because it's the authority that comes from God as she takes her place. And I believe there's a blessing and a reward in being where God wants us. And so there is power. You know, when you think of it, and when you think of power in that way, it takes on an altogether different look and a different meaning from our society, our world around us. And I just love to think about that, especially when you think about the fact that it's a privilege. And it brings freedom. Free because God has described it and put it in place. And you're finding yourself in the will of God. You're finding yourself in what you as Christian sisters this morning have promised to God in the vows that you have made. Now, he says it's power because of the angels. And I'd like to, for a few moments this morning, think of the angels again and what all is involved in this. We know that the angels are ministering spirits, as the Bible tells us, sent forth to minister to the saints. And I believe that this is where the power of the angels comes involved in this. The angels take notice to the veiled head and to the fact that you want to be submissive to the order of headship. And I believe this morning that there are angels who are observing and are noticing those who are showing the submission and glory to God in this prescribed order as well. We also know that angels grant protection and bear witness of God of those who are submitted to him in this order of headship. There's scripture we could turn to. I'll not turn there, but Matthew 18 and verse 10 would talk about that. The protection of angels and bearing witness to those things. We could stand here this morning, and you probably all read stories of sisters who have been in very dangerous situations at times in their life, and who God miraculously has just protected them, took them out of those kind of situations. Probably not aware of it so much at the time, but later as they look back and they thought about that, realized that, you know, it was the act of God. I believe there's lots of miracles that take place unbeknownst to us, and we're not going to spend a lot of time going there. But according to Psalms 103 and verse 20, it tells us that the angels excel in strength. And I want to bring that in this morning for your encouragement, because as you find God's order and you find this submission this morning, there is power on your head because of the angels. Angels that excel in strength. Angels who are God's ministering spirits, who are in this world to minister to the saints and to protect the saints and do the work that God wants done. And again, it goes back into the same thoughts as this thing of creation this morning. You know, our minds boggle. We go so far, and yeah, God is still there. God's there, and He's protecting, and He's giving the angels charge over those who are faithful and submitting to Him. So this morning, if you have ever struggled, have ever wondered about some of the things, some of those questions that I asked, I hope this morning that you're encouraged and that you're strengthened and that you realize that this is what God wants for your life and there are blessings in it. I'd just quickly like to, in closing, share a few practical points about all this yet. To our sisters this morning, I'd like to say this. Sisters, your covering is a sign, even to the angels, that you are qualified to pray and eligible for their ministry and their protection. That is something that outside of God's prescribed order, people cannot experience. The second thing I'd like to say this morning is just an encouragement, and I was blessed. I'll make this confession this morning. I came in just a few minutes late, and I sat in the back, and this subject was on my heart, and I sometimes see needs among us in our congregations, and I sat here and I observed sisters' coverings this morning in your congregation as you walked in, and I'd just like to say God bless you. I haven't seen a lot that I felt like was really, really out of order this morning. But what I'd like to say, the way you wear it should express the attitude of humility and meekness and sincerity and sobriety and all those things that we talked about. And I'm going to say this to the young men this morning that aren't married. If you're thinking about a wife and a spouse and the future, one of the things that I believe can tell you a lot about a sister is just look at her and observe the way she wears that headship veiling. It's going to tell you whether she's struggling in her Christian experience or whether she is, yes, and it doesn't tell the whole story, but it's a good indication this morning whether she's a meek and a humble and a sober person and one who is trying to find her way in the will of God. And if it's an indication otherwise, you have reason to give it some second thoughts, because the marriage relationship is a relationship that's supposed to be the closest of all relationships between a man and a woman and the harmony of working together. And if a young sister is struggling to take her place, there's a good chance that she'll struggle in taking her place to your leadership as well, if she's chafing under God's ordained prescribed headship order. And so I just throw that out to you this morning. Dear sisters, I plead with you that you be that meek, subdued type of people. And young men, that's an indication for you. Last of all this morning, in a practical way, I'd like to address the fathers. As God has called us to lead out and be the example of submission in our order of headship, in our responsibilities, we are to submit, yes, in meekness and humility to our head, who is Christ, to walk in order. And dear fathers, this morning, unless we find our place, unless we walk the walk in humility and sobriety and in soberness of life, we make it hard for our sisters to submit. Notice that the Bible says that we are to dwell with them according to knowledge. The Bible does indicate that men are stronger in some ways. We understand that. But I just make a plea this morning, fathers, that we find our place in God's prescribed order of things and in our responsibilities. Lead out in faithfulness and in the will of God so that we make it easier for the sisters that are called to respond to us in honor and so on. And I'd like to say another thing to fathers this morning. It is our responsibility to see that our church standard is maintained and practiced and not lost. It's not our sister's responsibility. It's our responsibility. May God bless the homes that are here this morning, the fathers, the sisters, young sisters. You have heaven's protection this morning. God's smile of approval as you submit yourself to every ordinance of the will of God.